Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. This morning we meet a group of young people being encouraged to find their voice and share their values. And a Merseyside minister shares the challenges and the chances that COVID has created. But let's begin in song, a morning hymn of praise. Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. With words by Charles Wesley and sung by the Huddersfield Choral Society, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. 3Generate is the Children's and Youth Assembly of the Methodist Church, and it aims to create an inclusive and diverse space for the voice of children and young people to emerge and be heard. It enables them to speak courageously and listen to God and each other. Through 3Generate, children and young people are equipped to understand and handle change and growth. 3Generate calls the church to listen to and to form relationships with and among children and young people so that change can happen together as a flourishing community. Sue Yardie is the Scripture Union Ministries Trust schools worker on the island and could see the value of 3Generate for local young people. So, before COVID, she took a group of local youngsters to a major 3Generate gathering where they met Phoebe, the current Methodist Youth President, and Roxy, a Methodist Youth Council representative. Our local young people formed an instant bond with Phoebe and Roxy, but of course couldn't meet up with them again. That was until this week. Sue Yardie and local Methodist youth worker Panda Dooley take up the story.
Well, since the 3Generate trip, which the girls were thrilled about going to and found out so much about other Christians, other young Christians in the British Isles, that we decided we'd start a group called the 3Gen Squad. And we were planning on going to 3Generate last year as well, but of course COVID stopped that. And when Phoebe was elected at the 3Generate we were allowed to go to, our girls had voted for Phoebe and we said we'd love Phoebe to come across to the island. And so we've been working on trying to get her for the year, really. Well, the girls and Panda and myself, we've met up several times over the last 2 years, and This weekend actually came about very quickly. I was on a Zoom meeting and Phoebe was part of that meeting, and I sent her a message, "We want you to come to the Isle of Man." And she said, "Oh, yes, please." And Roxy had been given the Isle of Man as one of her areas to cover. And I've known Roxy a good few years now. So about 3 weeks ago, it came to pass that Roxy and Phoebe could come to the island. And so Pandra and I got together and planned this weekend very quickly.
This really worthwhile couple of days hasn't just been restricted to members of the Methodist Church, has it?
No, it hasn't. On this occasion, because we're a small denomination of youth on the island, we opened it up to other denominations. So we have had people from other churches join us, which has been great because it's just opened the doors to new ideas, people realising that there's not just Methodist youth on the Isle of Man, there's people from other churches, then they can all meet in schools and see there's other Christians around. You can back each other up, you can see each other in schools, and knowing that that person has the same belief as you, if you're going through situations, you can approach each other because you know each other. You've met over a weekend and built relations and foundations. For our young people these days, they need to know that they can connect with each other in school, out of school as well, but it's just that belief that there's other people on the island that has the same belief as them. It's just empowering.
So, Methodist Youth President Phoebe and Youth Council Representative Roxy came to the island on Thursday and led a couple of days of Bible study, prayer, conversation, worship, games and relaxation, specially for our local young people. In a little while, a couple of those young people will explain more about what they did. But first, let's meet Phoebe and Roxy.
My name is Phoebe, and for the last year I have been working as the Methodist Youth President, which means that I work full-time for the Methodist Church to represent the children and young people of the Methodist Church in Great Britain. I listen to what children and young people are saying and try to share that both with senior church leaders and those within and outside the church. But it's also about communicating with children and young people what's going on in the Methodist Church for them and how they can become involved in the Methodist Church, and trying to build that bridge and close those gaps between children and young people in the Methodist Church and those adults in the Methodist Church.
Let's go to Roxy. Now, Roxy, you're a youth rep. Now, explain to me what that involves.
The youth reps are a division of the youth president. So we're voluntary roles. We go around the UK. There's different positions. My first position was in Methodist Council. So I went as a youth representative to Methodist Council to share the youth voice. There's a social justice reps. There's conference reps, which I was this year. There's reps for the British Youth Council. We just share the Methodist youth voice in all these different events, because obviously with one youth president, they can't go around to every single event.
Why did you want to do this, Roxy?
It's quite a weird story. I kind of just fell into it a little. We went to an event called Rise and Shine, which was developed by one of the former youth presidents, Craig Gaffney. And I went to that with one or two other people from my circuit, and then started learning about the youth role, and I was just off to uni at the time, and I was like, that might actually be quite a good thing to do. And yeah, it's given me some amazing opportunities. I've grown in confidence massively since I started. Like, I was really shy when I first started. And I've learned to appreciate all the opportunities I've had. And I really value telling all these stories about events I've been to.
So, Phoebe, do you think young people feel that church is done to them rather than with them?
I think it really depends on the children and young people. I think that if we're not careful, children and young people's voices can be lost or taken with less seriousness, given less consideration within church decision making and policy making and just in the general life of the church than that of adults. I think that for children and young people, it's really important that they know that they are valued members of the body of Christ and they are just as important as the adults within the church. I don't think it's that adults necessarily see children and young people as lesser or as second-class citizens. I think it's just that we're so used to children's voices not being part of the church or being part of decision-making, not just within the church, but in wider situations, that it's still a fairly new thing to try and get children and young people's voices heard throughout the Methodist Church, and that's within local contexts, but also as a national context. I think that some older people, they forget. For lots of adults, they've grown up in the church, and I'm sure that many older members of the Methodist Church and, you know, wider churches can remember being a teenager and being on fire for God and having a passion and having a really deep faith. And I think sometimes it's really easy to forget that actually, yes, we live maybe 50 years later than you, but we still feel the same. So maybe it's just about being reminded that there's a depth of faith. There's a depth of faith that children and young people have. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 5 or you could be 85. And I think what's really important is that the 5-year-old and the 85-year-old should be open to learning from each other and walking together in faith and journeying. And I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's something that perhaps the church could do better at, is that openness to just learning from each other and that mutual growth that we see in the Bible that we're encouraged to do and be part of this body of Christ all together.
Roxy, let's come back to you. You were talking of having some amazing experiences. Is there one that you would particularly like to share with us, please?
We were doing a planning session for 3Gen at the NEC just before COVID hit and everything got pushed to one side. And there was a young boy that was questioning his gender, and he wore a transgender badge on and wore a badge with the pronouns he, him. And he came up to us, like a few of us, and we were having a debate about gay marriage. And he was like, I'm so thankful that you had that debate and that conversation, because actually this is part of my story and I'm just coming to terms with this, and I'm just coming out to family, and it's good to know that actually there are people that support me. And, you know, everyone has their own opinion on the issue, but actually the fact you're talking about it, it means something. It's about a sense of community. No matter what your opinion is and what your views are, if we can all love each other, I think that's what we need.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy.
As part of their Bible study together, Phoebe and Roxy asked the young people to imagine that they were Timothy, one of Jesus' disciples, and through the person of Timothy to explore two key questions. Firstly, how easy or how difficult is it to set a good example to other people, just as the disciples had to do in the early days of the young church? And secondly, if, like Timothy, they were sent out to plant a new church, what would they want that church to look like? Let's hear how Onnie and Kitty answered those questions. How easy or difficult is it to be a good example nowadays?
There can be easy parts and difficult parts. It's easy to follow a good example and copy that and give that to other people. But if you're trying to be a good example just doing it as yourself, I think that can be a bit harder, because you're trying to find ways to be a better person for other people to look up to you.
being here, it's great. We're all in a big group together. And, you know, obviously it's easier when we're here to be that good example. You know, we were saying it's harder to be that good example when we go back into our schools and we have the world giving us all these things that we have to try and refuse. And, you know, with social media and all of that, it's so hard to keep that sort of pure heart and pure mind. So I feel like, yeah, it's easier to say that, you know, when we're all together, but it's a bit harder to try and put that into practice.
So here you are, you're pretend you're Timothy and you're going out to plant a new church. What would you want that church to look like, Oni?
Well, we were given this task during the session and our group designed the elements of the church. But if you start thinking about it, to make all of these things work inside of the church, you need a foundation, you need good people and you need people that share your real passion for God. So I think those are really important to have in your church, because otherwise it won't really work, because you need to have fellowship with people and encourage others to join, and having a strong foundation is key.
What was your church looking like, Kitty?
We mainly just discussed the ideas. We were saying, like, how will we bring people into this church? You know, it was like, what if these people in this village weren't Christians? How would we bring that in? And we were saying, you know, it's nice to have all of the, you know, lovely luxuries that we can have in church. But it's also about being honest. When someone asks you at the weekend, what did you do this weekend? You just be like, oh, I was at church. That can lead to people asking questions. And we were talking about doing maybe like social events, like open days and things like that, to sort of welcome people gradually into church, to get them to see what church is really about.
Do you think it's important that the church looks at its local community to see what that community needs, maybe what that village needs, what that town needs, and see how you could meet that need? Do you think that's important for a new church to look at its community?
Definitely, because we need to do things for others. We need to be selfless, and being involved in those types of things can be really important because it can help other people and it can help us as well. It might gain you some perspective, and everybody needs to be at comfort with themselves to be able to be at comfort with God as well.
Do you think your new church should have a special dedicated building, or would you use a building that was already there, or would you perhaps have no building at all? What do you think?
To be honest, personally, obviously it's nice to have a building in the winter, but I really think the church is about the people and the people that are there. We could meet in a dusty shed and it wouldn't really matter, as long as we're together and as long as we're all on fire for Jesus and all sharing in that fellowship. Obviously it's nice to have a building and it's nice to have a special youth room and have tea and coffee afterwards, but you know, it's really about the people and the community and all of that kind of thing.
Thank you to local young people, Kitty and Oni, sharing their thoughts on the reality of discipleship and church planting in this present day. For National Youth President Phoebe, this is almost the end of her year in office. So I wondered what lies ahead for her, and probably more importantly, how have the experiences of this last year in office shaped her thinking about her own future?
Well, I know for definite that I will be moving to Edinburgh to start university. I'm going to be studying Spanish and philosophy. But I think in terms of where God's calling me, just spending the time here with the group on the Isle of Man and other youth groups that I've met, I'm really passionate about getting back involved with local, on the ground, children and youth work, and having a group of children and young people who I can work with and emotionally invest in their journey and go with them. So that's what I'm really excited about, and also doing some social justice work, in particular looking at climate justice. So let's see where God takes me, but I'm really excited about what the next 4 years could hold.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the holy name, sing like never before.
Thank you to Phoebe and Roxy from 3Generate, the Children's and Youth Assembly of the National Methodist Church, and to my local guests, Kitty and Oni, schools worker Sue Yardy and youth worker Panda Dooley. Last Saturday evening, there was a splendid service of welcome for Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett, who's the new Chair of District and Superintendent of the Circuit, in other words, the leader of the Methodist Church on the island. For the service, Reverend Janet was joined by friend, colleague and Chair of the Liverpool District of the Methodist Church, Reverend Dr. Cheryl Anderson, who preached the sermon at the welcome service and afterwards chatted with me about the challenges and opportunities that she's found in ministry in her area of Merseyside.
It's the COVID factor, really. It's been very, very hard for churches. People haven't been able to gather for worship. We haven't been able to sing. There's obviously been financial implications for churches. Older people in the different congregations, some of whom are no longer with us, they haven't been able to say proper goodbye to people because restrictions prevented funerals. I think there's a lot of grief and loss around within the life of the church at the moment. And we need an opportunity to lament, and then we can start to plan for the future. It is a long process, but unless people are able to lament and grieve the things that they've lost, they will not be in a place to move forward into the future. A future which we cannot assume that it's going to be the same as the past. We have to build again. It's a bit like the children of Israel coming back to Jerusalem after the exile and recognising that they had to rebuild the temple, but not in the way that they built it before. And I think we're the church is in much the same kind of position at the moment. I think there is that sense of loss of the way things used to be and some fear, the uncertainty of what the future is going to hold. But also a sense of, well, God is doing a new thing and it's up to us to discover what that new thing is and then join in.
And you said a very, very telling thing in your address when you said, Jesus said just one thing to his disciples, feed my sheep. Just feed them.
And that's not to say that it's all simple and we just need to get on with things at all. But unless people are feeling nourished and supported and cared for, that's what gives people the strength to then tackle some of the big challenges that we're facing across the whole planet at the moment, things to do with climate change and the impact that the weather is having on everybody. This pandemic has been a real wake-up call, I think, for the global community about how easily it is for us to transmit all sorts of illnesses without even thinking about it. And we need to protect particularly the poorest people on the planet who will always suffer the worst from these kinds of things.
I think possibly one of the most significant things that was revealed in the massive research that came out during the pandemic, that at its height, one in four people were searching the internet for the word prayer.
Yes.
One in four people.
Yes. I think the pandemic has had some interesting impacts on people's spiritual life and on their sense of who they are as human beings, their human identity. Because we like to think that we're in charge and we're in control of our lives and we can make decisions and we're informed grown-up. And then something like COVID-19 happens and you realise just how fragile human existence is. And that's when people start to think about, well, what is there something bigger? What is it that's beyond this life as I understand it? In fact, we've had experiences where setting up prayer groups or using Facebook, and we had 700 people join. We'd never get 700 people to turn up for a prayer meeting. But because we've developed the skills to use technology, the interest and the hunger is out there. We need to find ways to meet that need.
Thank you to Reverend Dr. Cheryl Anderson talking about the chances and the challenges in ministry created by the COVID pandemic. In a moment, we'll take a look at this week's notice board, but first, a blessing. a Gaelic blessing, taking us into our look at this week's notice board. On the programme last week, we talked about a major new art exhibition in Onchan Methodist Church, 34 silk paintings by Anne House, depicting the gospel story in an original and challenging style. The exhibition opened yesterday and will be open each day from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. up to and including Sunday, the 12th of September, with free admission and refreshments available each day. The popular Sunday Night at 8 concerts at the Promenade Church here in Douglas resume tonight with a concert by the choir Musicale. It's free admission, refreshments afterwards, and an opportunity to make a donation as you leave. And as the name suggests, the concert in the Prom Church in Douglas tonight starts at 8 o'clock. It's the last in the series of summer concerts in St Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas this Wednesday evening. Thank you to everyone who has entertained and everyone who's supported another very successful season, which ends in fine style this Wednesday evening with a concert by Jane Corkill and Paul Costain. It's the usual starting time of 7:45, with homemade cakes and hot drinks afterwards. And whilst admission is free, donations for church funds would be much appreciated. The Thursday night summer concerts in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin will continue this week when the choir Sheehan and Millish will entertain. Admission is free, the starting time is 7:45, and there are refreshments in St Catherine's Church Hall afterwards. Orisdale Chapel have an art exhibition this weekend with work by distinguished local artists on display. The chapel will be open today from 10:30 to 4 o'clock, and admission is £2, including refreshments. And looking ahead to next Sunday, the Mariners Choir begin their new season of evening services next Sunday night, September the 12th, when they'll be in Bagarrow Chapel for a service starting at 6:30, at which Reverend Chris Belfield will preach. And as always, the service will be followed by supper and community hymn singing, with a warm welcome for all. Now, what's been running in the UK for nearly 40 years and is coming to the island in a couple of weeks? It's Ride and Stride, and under the banner of Churches Alive in Man, it's happening on the island on Saturday the 18th of September. The idea is for people to visit as many of the churches across the island as they would like between the hours of 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Saturday the 18th of September, and to get sponsorship for each church visited. Each person's own sponsorship money raised can be donated to the church of their choice. It might be the church you attend, or it might be a church with family connections, or just a church building that you think is really beautiful. Originally just for bikes, Ride and Stride now encourages people to use whatever kind of transport they wish. For example, you could walk, cycle, use a car, or even a mobility scooter, or ride on horseback. And many of the participating churches will be offering refreshments to speed you on your way. For a list of all the churches taking part, go to facebook.com and search for Churches Alive in Man, or have a chat with Rosemary Clark. Her number is 843 262, 843 262. And that's all that we've time for today. News for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns to be included in future programmes can all be sent to me via email, judithleigh@manxradio.com. All being well, I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown, easy listening music to round off your weekend. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week, and a very good morning.